Well, good morning, guys. These have been four fantastic weeks together in February, and you've been such a big part of that, being here, bringing guys and friends with you, and I am incredibly grateful for each of you and each of the weeks that we've had. And there's some other reasons that this has been so very, very good. One of those has been you've had a good breakfast every time you've gathered, right? And so help me say thank you to our guys in the kitchen who have done such a great job. And yes, they are going to be doing the barbecue and the breakfast for the upcoming men's conference. And so you need to be praying for these guys. They've got a lot to do over the next few weeks together. And another reason that this works so well week in and week out is there are a group of guys right at that back table in red shirts. They're a part of our facilities team. They get here early, open the doors, turn on the lights, make sure tables are set up. In fact, within an hour of when you leave here, this room is completely turned over and set up with chairs for a worship service. We have several hundred people that worship in this facility on two different hours on Sunday, 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and they turn this thing over. And I want you to say thank you to my facilities and setup crew and for all that they do as well. Those are guys and gals that never get enough affirmation for what they do. And I cannot tell you how many events a week we have going on, not just in this room, but all over this campus. And it's an amazing thing. And then on top of that, at the back booth back there, we've got our tech team, guys that do the sound and the lights and the video and all of that. And I want you to help me to say thank you to them as well, because they're such an important part of this. So it's always right to give honor where honor is due, and I'm just telling you, I may be the guy you see up here for the majority of the time, but these are the guys and the gals behind the scene that have helped to make all this happen, and I am very, very grateful for them. So thank you. And of course you, you're a big part of this. The fact that you're here, that you've come, and you've encouraged me every single week, I'm grateful for that. I believe that men rise in response to a challenge. I do. I believe that men have to be continually and regularly challenged in life, and that all of us need some motivation to be and to do all that we need to do in life. Now, we're all motivated differently, but every one of us needs motivation. And my prayer is that I've been able to be a part of something that's kind of come behind you in life to help you motivate you to move ahead. I saw this little picture this week, and I really love it about motivation. That's a pretty awesome shot of motivation there, isn't it? That'll get your heart pumping and your paddles going, won't it? Yeah, motivation. Many of you know the life, the name Zig Ziglar, who wrote so many books, spoke on so many platforms across America. I had the incredible privilege of knowing Zig personally. I actually was his Sunday school teacher at one point in his life many years ago and was blessed to have a relationship. But one of my favorite things that Zig said was this: people say motivation does not last. Well, neither does bathing, and that's why we recommend it daily. I think that's a great statement. But much more than a motivational challenge, it's been my goal to try to provide some instructional insights in life as to help you to think about and to consider the most vital part of your life, the core part of your being, and that has been the issue of character, and that's why we've called this the character challenge. Most life and leadership failures are character failures. Most life and leadership failures are character failures. And we've said that and underscored it along the way. I shared this with you early on. John Luther said, good character is more to be praised than outstanding talent. Most talents are, to some extent, a gift. Good character, by contrast, is not given to us. We have to build it piece by piece by thought, choice, courage, and determination. And it was Coach John Wooden who said, ability will enable a man to get to the top, but it takes character to keep him there. Now, the road of life is littered with the debris of the lives of men who have been successful, who have been famous, who have been talented and capable, but who have failed because of faulted character. At the very outset, I put this screen up for you to see the faces of all of these men. Men who 90 days ago had completely different brands, completely different reputations than what they have today. And in 90 days, they have gone from being men who were considered someone to be applauded because of their success and popularity, to being a group of people who now have the infamy of broken and faulted character in their lives. Now, I realize that didn't just happen overnight. Actually, what was revealed was what was the character. But character is always revealed, and there is a price to be paid for faulted character, and there's much to be learned about the importance of building our character. We said at the very outset that character, defined by the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, is one of the attributes or features that make up and distinguish the individual. It is the complex of mental and ethical traits marking and often individualizing a person, group, or nation. It is moral excellence and firmness, making us a man of sound character. And that's why I've been challenging you in the area of character, and that it has to be developed. I mentioned early on a wonderful book, and I would recommend it, called The Character of a Leader by General James and Dave Anderson. And they simply said, you have to do what you want to be. You have to do what you want to be. It's one thing to say, I want to be this. It's another thing to do what you want to be. And that's what character is doing daily those things. So we focused on the four R's of character education, four areas of character development. Week one, we looked at responsibility. Roy Smith said the ability to accept responsibility is the measure of a man. And we said that a man of character is a man who takes responsibility for himself, for his life, for his choices, and for others. He focuses on assigned tasks. He focuses on the chores of life and on his moral obligations. Secondly, we looked at the area of respect. And we simply said that respect for God and ourselves guides our morals, and respect for others guides our manners. We live in a culture of disrespect. And I don't think anybody can dispute the fact that we live in a culture of overwhelming disrespect in these days. But a person of character shows respect. And then last week, we looked together at restraint. Restraint. I told you that Socrates said an unexamined life is not worth living. I said to you, an unrestrained life is full of regrets. An unrestrained life is full of regrets. And we talked last week about the areas of life where we resent and we resist restraint. We talked about appetites, we talked about anger, we talked about the pursuit of wealth, and then we ultimately talked about lust. After we finished last week, one of the men here came up to me and provided me with an incredible photograph and an article about our Georgia coach, Kirby Smart. And probably many of you have seen and know the story behind this, but what an incredible photo this is, because it is the job of Scott Sinclair, who is the strength and conditioning coach for Georgia, on every game day to hold on to Kirby Smart. That's his job during the game. And it goes on to say, it's his job to hang on to Smart's backside. That's not much of an exaggeration. When the energetic Smart strays too close to the field in danger of incurring a penalty on his team, Sinclair is there to pull him back, whether it's by the shirt or by the back of his pants. That's an incredible picture. That is a parable, men, that every one of us in life needs somebody to hold the back of our shirt and grab us by the back of our pants. And sometimes when they pull us back, to nudge us and kick us in those pants as well. Because we incur penalties in our lives when we fail to realize our vulnerabilities. You see, Kirby Smart understands that his great strength is also his great vulnerability. He's got an incredible strength, his passion, his aggression in coaching. But he also realized that that's a vulnerability in a game, because if he steps on that field, he has violated the rules and he is suddenly going to take penalty, not just for himself, but for the team. Everybody's going to pay for Smart's mistake. And so he needs somebody to guard him. And what I've tried to say to you over and over again, and why we have the men's forum, is, guys, you got to have somebody who's got your backside. You got to have somebody who's got your back. One of our guys talked to me last week as well and shared with me a plan that he started and implemented in his life several years ago, where he picked up the names of 12 men that he cared about and said, I'm just going to pray for these guys regularly. And on an ongoing basis, he would send those guys a text and just say, I got your back. And they didn't even always know what he meant. But what he meant was, I'm praying for you. I'm praying over you. Guys, we need men that will pray for us. We need men that will hold us. We need men that will challenge us. We need men that will help us. And that's one of the reasons that we do what we do in this gathering. The scripture says in Proverbs 27, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another, and men are strengthened when we challenge one another. And that, again, is why we're doing this man-to-man conference. That's why we're doing it. I know that we've never really pushed you on anything about Warren and its ministry, but this isn't just a Warren thing. This is open to the CSRA, and we've got people from all over coming, and I just really want to encourage you. I have specifically invested in the development of Men's Forum for many years in prayer that there would be an opportunity for us to have a platform that would really reach and connect in our community, and I want you to help us do that, and that's why we've unashamedly been asking you to think about it and be a part. But today we come to the last of our areas of looking and of talking about the subject of character. And today we want to talk about the subject of resilience. Because a man of character not only is a man of responsibility, a man who demonstrates respect, a man who has restraint, but a man who has resilience. I suppose that some of the most fascinating stories in the Olympics in these days are the stories of resilience. How many of these young athletes have had to come back from incredible injuries and struggles and difficulties in their lives to be able to compete again just for a matter of seconds in a single event in an Olympic experience. And yet all of that reminding us of the importance of resilience. And because of the fact that life is filled with the issues of responsibility and with the issues of restraint, life is demanding and we get tired. And we get worn down in life. And it's easy for us to come to a place in life where we feel like what we want to do is that we want to give up and ultimately we want to give in. Jesus himself talked about the two pathways of life. And there really are two streams of life going on around us all the time. And every one of us is in one or the other of these streams of life. In Matthew chapter 7, there's such an incredible picture that I think is important for us. Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate that is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Jesus said, many, many people are living on the broad way. Many, many people are caught up in the congestion and the traffic. Just think about Atlanta. Just think about the scene that you know when you leave Augusta and go across 20. I know in advance, just count on it. I see Nick Carter. He and I spent 2 hours one afternoon trying to get out of Atlanta, getting back to Augusta on the loop, and just sitting there and sitting there. And Jesus said, look, life is full of congestion of people who are on the broad way. And they're all going together and they're all moving together and they're all like a pack and you're part of the pack and you're part of the crowd. He said, but there's another way that's a narrow way. And there are few who find it, but it is the way of life. Matthew Henry, a Bible commentator, said this about that passage. He said, Christ came to teach us not only what we are to know and believe, but what we are to do. Remember, you got to do what you want to be. What we are to do. Concerning the broad way, the gate is wide and stands open. You may go in at this gate with all your lusts about you. It gives no check to appetites or passions. It is a broad way. There are many paths in it. There are choices of sinful ways. There's a large company in this way. But the way to eternal life is narrow. Self must be denied, the body kept under, and corruptions mortified. Daily temptations must be resisted, duties must be done. We must watch in all things and walk with care, and we must go through much tribulation. And so I don't want to downplay the fact that the call and the challenge to be a man of character is not easy. It's hard. And the pursuit of character in your life means that you are going to struggle with the issues of being on the narrow way when everybody else and everything else pushes you toward the broad way. So what am I trying to say? Resilience is needed because of we live in the face of fatigue. We're always facing fatigue in life. Life just has a way of pushing us and wearing us down. One of my favorite statements about life is this: the problem with life is that it's just so daily. You know, I mean, that's really, it's just so daily. You just, it's the daily pattern. It's the repetition. It's the things we do. And we tend to wear down and we tend to wear out. And the bottom line is, men, weariness makes quitters out of all of us. I don't care who you are. It makes you a quitter. I don't know how many of you followed the Genesis Open over the past weekend, but it was an incredible story about the unfolding career and ultimately the championship on Sunday of Bubba Watson. I think most of us like Bubba. Bubba's unconventional in the world of golf. Bubba's amazing in so many ways. Of course, Bubba's won two Masters tournaments, and so if you've been around here, you've known the excitement, the thrill of seeing that happen. And he's had some incredible highlights in his life. He said that his goal has always been to have 10 wins on the PGA, and he said to himself, he said after the championship Sunday, he said, "My goal has always been to get 10 wins, and so I got this, my 10th. But with tears in his eyes, he said, "There's so many emotions going through my head right now. You never know if you're going to play good again. You never know if you're going to be able to lift that trophy again. So many things in the last 2 years. I thought about retirement. I mean, there's so much stuff going through my head right now. I can't believe I'm about to raise this trophy." And yet on Sunday, there's that incredible image of Bubba holding the trophy. But how about that statement? "For 2 years, I've wondered, will I ever be good again? Will I ever win again?" And I ultimately thought about retirement. Now, Bubba has had 279 PGA starts with 10 wins. So think about that. 279 weeks he has spent playing with 10 wins in all of that time. You know there are many others that have never had any of those wins and are still out there pursuing it. I love the fact, though, that he was interviewed as well regarding the issue of his thoughts about retirement. And one of the guys said, well, what would you do if you retired? And as only Bubba could say it sort of with a smile on his face, he said, "Well, I own a car dealership, a candy store, and a baseball team. I think I could find something to do." I thought that was a great statement. But Monday's headlines were these: Bubba is back. And I love the fact that Bubba stayed in there and he came back. I don't know how long he'll play on the tour. I don't know any of those things. But what I do know is that you don't have to be a PGA pro. In fact, far more men who are not PGA pros know the deep feelings of self-doubt and discouragement and the desire to quit. Life is a game that is hard mentally and spiritually. It is hard mentally and spiritually. And I think one of the greatest challenges that many of us struggle with is just the weariness of it. I just want to stand in front of you and tell you that's my greatest struggle today. Can I tell you that at this point in my life and in my ministry, the greatest struggle is the weariness of moving forward, having walked through so many things with so many people, so many issues, so many problems, so many conflicts through the years. There are plenty of days when I think, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to bear the responsibility of people's burdens. I get tired of doing the things I do to bear burdens. I do. I'm not telling you I don't have tremendous joy and gratitude and privilege in serving the Lord and serving people, but I would be happy if I never had to do another funeral. You have no idea how many funerals I've done. You don't have no idea how many funerals I've done that have been heartbreaking for people in this room. And I'm just telling you guys, it's hard to endure. There are days I want to put off the responsibility. There are also days I get tired of having to show respect. I mean, frankly, there are just some days I'd just like to not just tell it like it is, but I'd like to tell somebody off. And that's not a privilege that I have as a pastor. At least if I take that privilege, I will not be the pastor very long. Because, you know, people expect me to never get flustered, to never get, you know, over the edge, to never get out of bounds. But I'm going to tell you, there are many days I don't want to restrain any longer. I'm just tired of trying to be something that I know that I can never fully be. I'm talking about in terms of living up to the standards that I desire to live up to in my heart. And yet I want to be a man who has credibility. I want to be a man who has integrity. And that means I've got to stay in that fight. And that means that the greatest battle that I have at this point in my life in ministry is to continue to struggle with resilience. If you ever think about me and you ever pray for me, just pray that God will give me endurance, because I do not want to end poorly. I don't have the energy that I had as a 30-year-old in ministry. I don't have the creativity that I had in another time in my ministry. But I can finish with integrity. And that's the commitment of my heart. And that's what I'm praying for my own life in these days. I need resilience in the face of fatigue. And then we all need resilience is needed in the place of failure. Failure is one of the great unavoidable realities of life. Failure is one of the great unavoidable realities of life. Failure is among the hardest and the harshest realities of life. It was Benjamin Franklin who said, "The things that hurt instruct." And it's amazing how much we learn from our failures, but it's always hard to come back from your failures. I think one of the interesting stories surrounding the Super Bowl this past year had to do with the Philadelphia Eagles' backup quarterback, Nick Foles. I mean, he spent his career being a backup. He's been a guy who was a young athlete, and he too, in post-game interviews, talked about how much he has considered retiring in the last few years. You know, most players who play in the NFL, NFL stands for not for long. Did you know that? They play about two and a half to three years. And Nick Foles thought, you know, hey, I'm here, but I'm a backup, and I'm probably not ever going to really be any better in this. I probably just need to go on with what else is happening in life. And frankly, Nick Foles spent the majority of his career feeling that he was a failure. But at the end of the Super Bowl this year, instead of being like a failure, Nick Foles had some pretty amazing things. He outdueled Tom Brady, earning the recognition of the most valuable player. He had the highest passer rating in NFL postseason history, having completed 28 of his 43 passes for 373 yards, three touchdowns, and one interception. He also caught a touchdown pass and ran it in. He's the only quarterback to do that. And so that was a pretty amazing thing. But all of that to be said that he talked about the struggle that he's had with feeling like a failure. He went on to say, "I think the big thing is just don't be afraid to fail in life." I think in our society today, Instagram, Twitter, everything's a highlight reel. It's all about the good things. But failure's a part of life. It's a part of building character and growing. Without failure, who would you be? I wouldn't be here if I hadn't fallen down 1,000 times and made mistakes. Somewhere we've got to come to terms with the fact that we're not going to escape failure, and therefore we've got to embrace failure. We've got to embrace the fact that it's still going to come regularly and repeatedly. And when it comes, that we've got to be able to move beyond it. C.S. Lewis, the brilliant Oxford scholar, wrote an interesting piece called The Screwtape Letters that was sort of a parody of Satan teaching demons how to do their job well. And in that he said this, "Satan's strategy is to get believers to become preoccupied with their failures. From then on, the battle is won." And the more you see your life and put an F on your life and think of yourself as a failure, the greater the difficulty will be. Now, failures come in all shapes and sizes and packages, and many of us are struggling in this room today with feelings of failure. But don't let your worst moment become what defines the whole of your life. Yes, you've had some bad moments. Some of them have happened to you because of things that people have done. Some of them have been your own bad choices. Somebody once said, if you could kick the person responsible for the majority of your injuries in life, you yourself couldn't sit down for a week. I mean, you are the cause of so much of your own self-inflicted pain and injury. But as Warren Wiersbe said, we cannot change the past, but we can be changed by the past. Many people are controlled by past sins, past regrets, and past failures. The past should be a rudder to guide us, and not an anchor to drag us back. What a great statement that is. Guys, I pray that you'll be able in the place of failure to find resilience. Resilience is also needed to stay on pace through faithfulness. One of the great secrets to success in life is simply showing up. Just keep showing up. So many of us think it's the big highlights, the big moments, that, as Nick Foles put it, the Instagram, the Twitter moments. But the truth of the matter is, because life is so daily, one of the biggest things that we have to do is to just keep showing up again and again. I'm so excited that in the days since we've started this, pitchers and catchers have reported, and now the players are reporting to spring training. And whether it's in Arizona or in Florida, spring training is on. And that's very exciting as we look ahead to the 2018 season that's ahead for us right now. But as we think about that and as we consider that, one of the most amazing people, of course, in baseball history is a guy who has had some time, some face time here locally by the name of Cal Ripken Jr. And Cal Ripken Jr. was inducted to Major League Baseball Hall of Fame on his first year of eligibility. He was the shortstop and third baseman for his lifetime team, the Baltimore Orioles, playing 21 seasons, 19 times elected an All-Star, 2 times most valuable player of the American League, elected to the Hall of Fame, as I mentioned, in his year of eligibility. But the primary reason that Cal is so heralded and so affirmed in baseball is he played 2,632 consecutive games. That is showing up. Cal's in the Hall of Fame not because of everything else. I mean, he's a phenomenal athlete, a great player. But at the end of the day, the greatest thing about him is he just kept showing up. He just kept being there. He didn't take a day out of the rotation. He stayed in. He stayed on course. He was there showing responsibility and respect and ultimately restraint and resilience. And resilience is determination and discipline to honor your duty and fulfill your responsibilities in life. That's what it is. It's determination and discipline to honor your duty and to fulfill your responsibilities in life. And I love the fact that Cal is a continual reminder of what that means and what that looks like in his life and career, but something that matters for you and me. Well, the last thing that I want to spend a little time on that before we wrap up today and close out this character challenge is I need to just be really straight up with you and be sure that you understand this about resilience and ultimately understand this about character. And that is that resilience is a byproduct of faith. It's a byproduct of faith. The need in all of our lives is not simply greater effort, but a stronger constitution. And faith is the greatest source of resilience in life. I mentioned Nick Foles earlier. He said, "So I'm not perfect. I'm not Superman. I might be in the NFL. I might have just won the Super Bowl. But hey, I still have daily struggles, and that's where my faith comes in. I think you look at your struggles in life and know it's an opportunity to grow character." It's all about growing character. And character grows not just by gritting and gutting, but by believing. By believing and focusing your life forward. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 say this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run." You know, if you're going to run, there are two things you got to do. One, you got to get weights off. You're not going to run carrying weights on your shoulders. I mean, you're not going to pick up a barbell, put it on your shoulder, and say, "I'm going to go out for a run." You know, nobody does that. And you got to get things off that cling too closely, things that hamper and hinder and would trip you up. And so it says, we got to lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do you run with endurance the race that is set before you in life? Well, it's very simple. Looking to Jesus. You don't run the race looking at your feet. You run the race looking ahead and looking up. And guys, the great issue of life is not you looking at some other great person and saying, "I want to be like him or her," but it's saying, "I want to focus my life on Christ." Because Christ and Christ alone is the only one who has ever exhibited perfect character and perfection in his life in all things and in all places. And so you need something greater than yourself. You need something deep within your heart that shapes your character. Interestingly enough, right before you get to Hebrews 12, Hebrews 11 is all about what we might call the Hall of Faith or the Hall of Fame. And it's all about the men and women that we read about, all their stories in the Old Testament and through the pages of Scripture. But the interesting thing is that they're all accounted as people of faith, when in reality, if you read their stories, every one of them had major moments of doubt. Frankly, they're not believers, they're doubters. Every one of them were. But when you look at their life, because they look beyond their failures, they look beyond their weaknesses, they look beyond that, they became men and women of faith because they didn't focus on themselves, they focused on God and what He could do. And I'm just trying to say to you as clearly as I can today, guys, you need God if you're going to be a man of character. Amen. You need God. Because it's greater than your capacity to simply try harder, do more, and be better. You and I need divine intervention and direction to change us, not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Character is something on the inside. Conformity comes from the outside, where you're shaped into being what others want you to be. Character is what you become on the inside. And you were made to know God. And life without God becomes nothing more than an impulsive indulgence. And yet God made you for significance. And the power source that is greater than any human intent is the power that comes in a man's life when he looks to God and when he puts his faith and his trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Everyone knows that yesterday morning the world awakened to the news of the death of Billy Graham. In his 100th year, Billy has finally closed his eyes and his faith is now sight. If there is no heaven and there is no hope, then Billy Graham wasted his life. But Billy Graham lived his life persuaded of two very vital and simple things. The problem, the heart of the human problem, was the problem of the human heart, and the human problem is the problem of sin. S-I-N. Middle letter defines it all. I'll live my life for what I want to do what I am. All of that is selfishness. All of that is driven to all sorts of behavioral expressions that are destructive and that are impulsive and that frankly don't build character but destroy everything about who we are. Billy preached the message of sin. He told people that people everywhere needed to repent. I mean, you can just hear Billy, repent! Over and over he would say that. And repentance is simply turning from going in the wrong direction to turning to going in the right direction. And all of us need to realize that the problem in our lives, the fault in our character, is the fault of sin. The Bible says it this way, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us lives up to the standard that God intends. But the second thing that Billy Graham always preached clearly was the message of divine intervention. That God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And God sent Christ into this world to be a perfect, sinless example, but more than to be an example, to be the substitute for us. And when Christ died on the cross, He died on the cross for you and for your sin and for your failure and for your faulted character, in order that through His death and then His burial, tasting death for us, His resurrection, that He could give us new life. And when Christ arose from the dead, He gave the power to give new life to anyone who would believe on His name. And when you believe on the name of Jesus Christ, when you trust in Christ just like you're trusting in those chairs, every one of you is trusting a chair right now to hold you up. Trust isn't just something you believe in your mind, a set of facts. We all believe George Washington was the first president of the United States, but that hadn't changed your life per se. That's just intellectual knowledge. Believing in Jesus isn't just saying, yeah, I believe Jesus lived. Believing in Jesus is trusting your life to what Christ has done. And when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, Christ comes in and gives you a new power on the inside, and you begin to have the potential and the power to have character that you can't have of your own accord and of your own will. That's why Paul, one of the great Christians of the first century, wrote this to the church in Galatia. He said, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do." All of us struggle with this character battle of knowing the right thing to do and struggling with the impulse to do what is wrong. How do we overcome that? Well, in our flesh, as we are driven by our impulses. In fact, Paul went on to describe those down in verse 19 of that same passage. He said, the works of the flesh are evident. Here are the works of the flesh. You want to know what you naturally are? You want to know what you give a man freedom to do and be anything he wants to be? You want to know what every man will be? He will be sexually immoral, impure, sensual, an idolater, sorcerer, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That's who we are. And that's why we can't just control our urges and our impulses. We need something to change us on the inside so that we have a new power source and a new potential to live life that gives us true resilience, the resilience of character. Paul contrasted that life with what he called life in the Spirit, the spiritual life that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And he said the fruit of the Spirit, when the Spirit lives in you, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's something that God gives and God develops and God shapes in the life of any man who's willing to look to Him and to put his trust in Jesus Christ. That's why we make a big deal about the message of the Bible, the message of the gospel. And I love the fact that everywhere Billy Graham went in the world, he always spoke. I don't care if he was at the highest level of educational institutions or if he was standing with political figures all over the world, he never strayed from this message. We are sinners. Christ alone is the Savior, and you need to be saved. That was his message. And I guess when I talk to you about character, yeah, I want to motivate you. Yeah, I want you to understand the components of character, responsibility and respect and restraint and resilience. But I tell you, the greatest thing I want you to realize is you need to be reconciled to God. You need to be changed. And that can only happen through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that comes by recognizing the wrong impulse of your life and the great need to turn and to put your faith in Christ. Religion, faith, isn't something we practice on the outside to make us look better. Religion and true faith is a relationship that we have with God, recognizing our problem, our fault, our sin, and trusting in His power, the Savior, Jesus Christ, because God makes us men of character, not because of us, but because of Christ. One of the most amazing forces in the world is the force of the atmospheric pressure that's going on around us right now. There are 14.7 pounds of pressure pushing on you per square inch on your body sitting here right now. You thought it was the grits and the biscuits that were making you feel so heavy. The truth of the matter is, you got 14.7 pounds of pressure per square inch, and it just depends on how many square inches you are as to how much pressure you've got on you. But the fact of life is God, there is a corresponding pressure inside of you that keeps you from being collapsed like a pancake. And that's true spiritually. What is true physically is true spiritually. For every man who puts his faith in Christ, there is a corresponding power inside of you that keeps you from being a man of faulted and failed character and allows you to grow in character and to grow in the knowledge of God and to become the man that He would have you to be. I just can't share all of these things with you and let you take it home and then realize battery's not included. That's one of the worst things that ever happened in my life on a Christmas as a kid. You know, I grew up in an era when there was no stores open on Christmas Day. And I'll never forget, my dad got me this incredible truck that had all these things that it would do, but he forgot the batteries. And the batteries were not included. And I had to look at that toy all day and not play with it until the next day because there was no power. And guys, I'm just trying to tell you, as much as I want to encourage you, instruct you, and give you relevant information, at the end of the day, I'm being disingenuous if I just tell you, go out there, try harder, do more, be better. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you there's something broken in you, and you need a power source that you don't have. And the batteries, don't come from us, they come from God. Amen. And He changes us. So, Father, I pray that You would help us to leave here today first looking to Jesus. And then, Father, beyond looking to Christ, that we would trust that Christ, Lord, to take us and, Lord, to shape us and to make us men of character. Lord, there are people in this room of all sorts of responsibility, and Father, they need Your strength. And there are men in this room who, Lord, are struggling with relationships where it would be easy for them to be disrespectful, but I pray that You would help them to show respect to You, to their family, to others. Father, I pray also for just the need for restraint in our lives. God, we are filled with so many impulses, and we need Your restraint and Your guidance. And Father, I pray for the resilience that we need in the face of fatigue and failure and to be faithful, and that God, You would work in our hearts and minds in the days to come. Thank You for these men. Thank You for the privilege of the platform of speaking to them today. And God, I pray Your blessing on this upcoming men's conference. In Christ's name, amen. 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 Guys, thank you for being here. You can pick up tickets for Man to Man right over there. So go by and get it. Thank you again. God bless you. Glad to have you today.